This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The topic of my sermon today is The Healing of a Lame Man, Part 2. My text is Acts 3:6, which states, Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. When Peter said, Look on us, the lame man expectations were raised. Peter, instead of turning his eyes from him, as many do from objects of charity, turned his eyes to him. Yes, he fastened his eyes upon him, that his eye might affect his heart with compassion towards him. John did so too, for they were both guided by one and the same Spirit, and concurred in this miracle. They said, Look on us. Our eye must be ever towards the Lord, the eye of our mind, and in token of this, the eye of the body. May properly be fixed on those whom he employs as the ministers of his grace. This man needed not to be bidden twice to look on the apostles, for he justly thought this gave him cause to expect that he should receive something from them, and therefore he gave heed to them. We must come to God both to attend on his word and to apply ourselves to him in prayer, with hearts fixed and expectations raised. We must look up to heaven and expect to receive benefit by that which God speaks thence, and an answer of peace to the prayer sent up. I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. His expectation of our alms was disappointed. Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, and therefore none to give thee. Yet he announced that if he had any, he would have given him an alms, not brass, but silver or gold. It is not often that Christ's friends and favorites have abundance of the wealth of this world. The apostles were very poor, had but just enough for themselves, and no overplus. Peter and John had abundance of money laid at their feet, but this was appropriated to the maintenance of the poor of the church, and they would not convert any of it to their own use, nor dispose of it otherwise than according to the attention of the donors. Public trust ought to be strictly and faithfully observed. Many who are well inclined to works of charity and yet not in capacity of doing anything considerable, while others who have ability to do much have not a heart to do anything. His expectations, notwithstanding, were quite outdone. Peter had not money to give him, but he had that which was better, such an interest in heaven, such a power from heaven, as to be able to cure his disease. Those who are poor in the world may yet be rich, very rich, in spiritual gifts, graces, and comforts. Certainly there is that which we are capable of possession, which is infinitely better than silver and gold. The merchandise and gain of it are better. Job 28:12, Proverbs 3:14. He gave him that which was better, the cure of his disease, which he would gladly have given a great deal of silver and gold for if he had had it. And the cure had been so obtained, this would enable him to work for his living so that he would not need to beg anymore. Yes, he would have to give to those that need it. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. A miraculous cure will be a greater instance of God's favor and will put a greater honor upon him than thousands of gold and silver could. When Peter had no silver and gold to give, yet, says he, such as I have, I give thee. Those may be of all and ought to be otherwise charitable and helpful to the poor, who have not money to give in charity. Those who have not silver and gold have their limbs and senses, and with these may be serviceable to the blind, the lame, and the sick. As everyone hath received the gift, so let him minister it. Let us now see how the cure was formed. Christ sent Edward and healed him. To heal in the name of Jesus was to invoke his power and presence. But healing grace is given by the word of Christ. This is the vehicle of the healing virtue derived from Christ. Christ spoke cures by himself. The apostles spoke them in his name. Peter bids a lame man rise up and walk, which would have been a tease upon him if he had not yet forth beforehand said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say it by authorization from him, and it shall be done by power from him, and all the glory and praise of it shall be ascribed to him. Give him what name you will, call him if you will, Jesus of Nazareth. In that name you shall see wonders done. For because he humbled himself, thus highly was he exalted. He bids the cripple rise up and walk, and does not prove that he had, which does not prove that he had power in himself to do it, but that if he attempt to rise and walk, and in a sense of his own lack of power, depend upon the divine power to enable him to do it, he shall be enabled. And by rising and walking, he must evidence what that power has formed upon him. And then let him take the comfort and let God have the praise. Thus it is in the healing of our souls, which are spiritually lacking in power. Peter lent his hand and helped him. He took him by the hand in the same name in which he had spoken to him to arise and walk, and lifted him. Not that this could contribute anything to his cure, but it was a sign plainly announcing the help he should receive from God if he exerted himself as he was bidden. When God by his word commands us to rise and walk in the way of his commandments, if we mix faith with that word and lay our souls under the power of it, he will give his spirit to take us by the hand and lift us up. If we set ourselves to do what we can, God has promised his grace to enable us to do what we cannot. And by that promise, we partake of a new nature, and that grace shall not be in vain. His feet and ankle bones receive strength, which they had not done if he had not attempted to rise and been helped up. He does his part, and Peter does his, and yet it is Christ that does all. It is he that puts strength in him. As the bread was multiplied in the breaking, and the water turned into wine in the pouring out, so strength was given to the cripple's feet in his stirring them and using them. The iconic Clevelander Hotel and Bar along Ocean Drive in Miami Beach, Florida, will soon be replaced with a high-end restaurant and affordable housing units, the building's owner announced Thursday, September 7, 2023, by the Associated Press. The changes being submitted soon to the city of Miami Beach include a development with 40% of the units designated as affordable and a maximum of height of 30 stories. the Jester Group, which owns the Cleveland Hotel and Bar on Ocean Drive, said in a press release Thursday. The group also owns the adjoining Essex Hotel. The plan is allowed under Florida's Live Local Act, which is designed to incentivize affordable housing, said Anthony O'Brien, the group's senior managing director. Rent has skyrocketed in the last several years along Miami Beach and across much of Florida. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus died a very painful death on the cross. They placed a crown of thorns on his head, pierced him in the side, nailed his hands and feet to the cross. He suffered, bled, and died that our sins will be forgiven and we will have eternal life. Therefore, let us love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is overcoming fear. Fear is big business in the 21st century. Whether we turn on the evening news, listen to the radio on the way to work, or watch people overtake the Capitol, we are bombarded by messages that are intended to induce fear, anxiety, apprehension, and hopelessness. We are reminded time and time again that the world is a dangerous, unpredictable place. So it's no surprise that you will sometimes experience fear. The seven most common fears are fear of criticism, fear of poverty, fear of death, fear of failure, fear of offending others, fear of looking foolish, and fear of success. What are you afraid of? And more importantly, how can you overcome your fears? Well, here are a few ways to help you overcome. First, understand that fear is one of society's greatest commodities. Modern media constantly barrages you with fear-provoking, attention-grabbing headlines designed to capture your thoughts and redirect your life. Your task is to combat fear with faith and maintain a positive attitude. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Second, study God's word and trust God's promises. Studying God's word is important because it is hard to trust what you do not know. God's promises give you faith, hope, and courage. When you are afraid, his promises will comfort you. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Third, guard your thoughts and your heart from the anxieties and distractions that might cause you to stray away from his path. When you encounter situations that make you afraid, turn your thoughts and prayers to God. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And finally, love God and your neighbor. Now you may be thinking, what's love got to do with it? Well, John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment, so the one who is afraid is not perfected in love." Remember, all of us have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory, but the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to pray, trust and obey his word, and take purposeful action for his glory. Be safe and stay encouraged, my friends. And when fear knocks at your door, answer with faith. Shalom.